From Kenner's Star Wars collection comes the Stormtrooper, the Sand People, and all 20 action figures, including new Hammerhead, Snaggletooth, and more, each sold separately. And now, Boba Fett, Star Wars villain with his laser rifle. Boba Fett is not yet available in stores, but you can get him free with 4 proofs of purchase from any Star Wars action figures. Details on specially marked packs at participating stores. Offer ends May 31st. Star Wars action figures sold separately from Kenner.
All right, action fans, we are back in the action room, and what's more, you are back in the action room. I'm Tony Wolf.
Geek Goddess.
And producer Mike.
All right, so we've got another fantastic show in this, our first week back in version 3.0 of the action room. Of course, we are Geek Culture Radio. We've got new shows every Monday and Friday, sharp. Join our Facebook page and follow us on Twitter. We've got a lot of activity going on the Twitter account especially, so it's very, very fun to see. Thank you, fans, for supporting us. You can also download the Action Room. This is a new development.
I know. I was so excited to hear that.
When you go to the site, which you are on now, you can see a large word that says download.
No.
In a lovely purple rectangle of glowing purple. Later on in the show, we're going to have a longtime friend of the Action Room and former guest, frequent guest, former Marvel editor Jason Liebig will join us to talk about the Toy Fair and all the latest and greatest in the world of toys. Of course, we'll also have the Nerd News, where we talk about what's the word on the geek.
I just made you do that again.
Yeah, I think we're going to jettison that phrase as of this episode.
I can't stop thinking... Nerd News. Right? I don't know why. It's like stuck in my brain.
You and our 4,000 other fans are all saying the same thing.
Yes, I am. So,
okay. So, the big news in our last episode, of course, was our interview with the wonderful, lovely, talented, and multi-ability. Is that a word? Multi-ability?
Dude, don't ask me what words are. You have somebody who can barely has any vocabulary skills, and then Jennifer who can't spell. So
yeah, exactly.
I'm the English major.
We got a pack.
Anyway, very multifaceted. How about Amber Benson? Of course,
and
Tara.
we got a crazy amount of feedback. It was awesome.
A lot of feedback. You can check out the video on YouTube.
Tony reminded me as well that we have an ID also from Joss Whedon. Famous creator Joss Whedon, and you know there was a little bit of struggle in getting that idea, from what I remember back
in.
Yes,
this was last year at the New York Comic Con. Joss Whedon spoke. He was introducing Dollhouse. Dollhouse was brand new at the time; it was about to premiere. They showed us one scene from Dollhouse, and they had the actor who plays like the square-jawed, hunky Secret Service agent who was on Battlestar Galactica, and his name is like Tamo or something. Anyway, so Joss Whedon finishes up. And Mike and I have already planned out. It's like a football game.
You have to do this sometimes. Jennifer, if you don't know this, you're new to this, and you'll experience this, I'm sure, at some point if we go to conventions together.
Right.
You have to plan to get these IDs or interviews with celebrities, because a lot of times they're rushed out right after they speak.
Their publicists, their bodyguards will rush them out the back entrance, and no one is allowed to speak to them.
Mm. So you kind of have to cut them off in like areas that you shouldn't be in and stuff like that. And
So
I was almost arrested, basically, in trying to get this ID. I mean, not completely, but the security guards were like, no, you have to, whatever.
They almost tried to physically hold him back.
So yeah. I guess you didn't get to...
No. Then
we got it.
He told me to go... I walked away because they told me to go the other direction, and I just, what would you call it, some football turnaround.
He sort of,
and I
he
just
faked him out.
And then he did like a turn.
He faked him out and doubled back.
Wow.
And the second you get the attention of the celebrity, you're home free. Because at that point, I was just yelling, Joss, and then when he turns around, the security guard really doesn't have anything to work off of anymore, and so he just has to let you.
And then they just watch the celebrity's reaction. Yeah. Does the celebrity dismiss you and kind of have a look on their face like, get away from me?
Right.
Or does the celebrity look like, I'm actually listening to what you're saying, And he listened to Mike, because everyone listens to Mike.
Why? So we got the ID. And
now, by the way, I have a PS to this.
Okay.
So this was like Green Beret shit. So producer Mike goes to one back entrance, and he said to me, Tony, I want you to double around, go long way back through the municipal entrance behind the convention hall entrance, and try to meet him, like, it's almost like there's a big square and two people meet go around the square. This is hard to describe in radio.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was like a football
diagram.
And not
really diagram. Worth describing.
But I was awesome. I went into these freaking municipal janitor entrances. There were pipes and shit. I was like in a garage, and I was like, I felt like I was in a James Bond movie.
Yeah, right.
And I was like, I'm going to meet Joss. And finally, I'm like, did I even go the right way? And then I see Joss, and I see Mike, and I'm like, oh, we're going to meet. And as I approached, Joss didn't even notice me, because by that point, he was already talking to Mike and getting the ID, and I was like, okay, good.
So this brings me to the point that I think instead of producer Mike...
Mission Impossible.
Instead of producer Mike, I think my name should be General Mike.
Yeah.
Okay.
Military General Mike. So anyway, that is how we got the Joss Whedon ID.
So wait, let's play.
And
let's
a lot of the celebrities, they're playful. They don't just say you're watching the Action Room and that's it. They add their own little thing to it. So
right.
Let's hear what Joss Whedon had to say.
Hi, I'm Joss Whedon, and you're watching the Action Room because you have nothing better to do. Go out. The sun is shining. Live your life.
Now, this was really special for us, too, as we started the Action Room up again last week. We figured it could be a kind of a Buffy-themed week because we have Amber Benson, and now we have Joss Whedon.
And I just want to say, Joss Whedon, he kind of... I wasn't a big Buffy person, and I wasn't into the other show, but
right.
You didn't tell me.
Angel?
No, well, that too, but there was the Firefly.
Oh, Firefly.
You didn't tell me that the hottest girl on the planet was on that show, Christina Hendricks. I mean, if I knew that, I would have seen this show.
You never showed any interest in these shows.
Well, now I have an interest.
Why should I tell you the breakdown of every single
one? What's great is that I was looking... So I'm totally going to be like watching the Firefly, catching up, and
well,
Mad
this
Men
is,
as well.
Now I'm taking notes. This is how to hook producer Mike in when I want to get him interested in something.
But you could do that to me, too.
Any hot girls, actually.
Right.
But not every hot girl is producer Mike's type. That's
right.
Another thing.
Mm. Well, I think Christina Heather is everybody's type. But here's the thing.
I want to see her now.
Oh, man, you don't
she's
know.
She's on Mad Men. You know Mad Men? She's the redhead.
She's the redhead with the enormous breasts. Anyway.
She's very curvy on redhead.
Here's
okay.
The thing.
I'm on Mad Men.
I looked at her IMDb page.
Yeah.
In 1999, she was on a show. I don't know if either of you remember, an MTV show called Undressed.
Yeah, I know about that.
This
show
was the beginning of the end for MTV. This was basically
the beginning of porn.
Yeah, this was basically porn without the sex. It was
it was about college
kids.
Those
are the shows that I like.
It was all the scenes in it was all the scenes of from porns with the bad acting, just the scenes leading up to the sex without the extra sex.
Oh,
I can't imagine a 25-year-old Christina Hendricks on a like basically what MTV was offering as porn at that time. I
that's mind blowing.
A lot of people do that.
I don't know if I can do the rest of the show now thinking about that, because I like her too a lot.
I love her.
Anyway,
okay.
She's great on Serenity, by the way. She's awesome. So
I mean, Firefly. Yeah, so Serenity was the movie, right?
Okay. Firefly is a TV show that was unceremoniously canceled, and the movie was the revival Serenity. Anyway,
and Mad Men, I hear, is great too. So
she's great on Mad Men. Okay, so anyway,
So let's take a break.
Well, we're taking a break. Okay, so we're going to take a break.
And when we come back, Jason Liebig.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back in the Action Room with our very special guest. This guest is someone who we had on the show in previous iterations of the show. This is, of course, Action Room version 3.0. This is Mr. Jason Liebig. Welcome, Jason, to the studio.
Thanks, guys. Happy to be here. Nice to be back. I like the new studio.
Yes. It's much shinier,
bigger.
Right?
It
is.
The walls are like that shiny blue metal.
It's got a glow about it.
Yeah.
Yes.
The receptionist was very kind.
Oh, yes. She's very new. She's the best. Janie, you're the best.
Oh, thank
you. So Jason has a very unique history. Jason worked, among other things, as an editor at Marvel Comics for
quite
a number of years.
5 years, yep.
He's also an actor. Mm-hmm. He is a writer.
Yep.
And Jason has a very special talent, or a very special... why don't you just tell us about your thing that we're going to have you on the show for now?
My collecting. I'm a I wouldn't call myself a super collector of everything, but I like to think of myself as a student of collecting and certainly a passionate and enthusiastic
in fact,
collector.
I want to get to this later because I mentioned this to Jason that I thought we should give him a moniker
a
of
nickname.
Some kind.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. And I have one, you know, you guys can all have your own. Mine is pretty basic, The Collector. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a superhero.
I like
Isn't
that.
There a Marvel Comics sort of villain
I
actually
want to switch names. That's a good one.
Isn't there a Marvel Comics sort of villain called The Collector?
You know, there might
He's like a cosmic force.
You know, I think you're right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's a big yellow drapery.
Oh, that has to be. Yeah.
There's also, of course, the there's a Star Trek collector, a Star Trek character called The Collector who took Data in an episode.
Right, he collected the android.
He collected the android, and so he had a collection.
Producer Mike, stealing names.
You know. The Collector, well, what other nicknames did we have
I
besides
came up with
The Collector?
Two, but I don't think it's fair to make up your own nicknames.
No, let's try it.
Okay, I had Action Room's Collector in Residence. Which I think has a
It's like
a,
you're like a chair at an academic institution.
That's why I like it.
I like the Candyman.
The Candyman?
The Candyman. Aren't I
a drug dealer for junior high students?
It's like Willy Wonka.
What's up, Candyman?
Do you want an ume plum, little girl?
Tastes
it's
like
direct
wine.
From Tokyo.
What was it? But you want to come to my bike shop and have an orange soda?
You drive a van, don't you, Jason?
and I have a back room at a bike shop.
That was a Different Strokes episode?
Yeah, that was your reference. I also had Collector in Chief, which I also like. Has a certain
I like Collector in Chief. That's a good one.
I think it has some authority to it.
Jennifer, you said everything's good. You like
I like it all. They're all good. We're going to give you a whole
I don't know. Now, I think Collector in Chief just in the horse race in my head. Collector in Chief just, it was like the little horse game.
Yes.
You know,
yeah.
You just passed it.
And the winner is...
Collector in Chief.
Okay. Well, let's go with that.
All right.
So you're here, though, mainly today for the Toy Fair.
I'm mainly here to talk about Toy Fair because it's big news. You know, it happens once a year. And I certainly have a long relationship with toys and Toy Fair. I'm not as active a toy collector as I used to be. I collected toys for about 15 years. And I worked in the toy business in addition to Marvel. I freelanced with Toy Biz for about 5 years. I wrote blurbs on the backs of action figure packages, and I wrote the action figure catalogs. I wrote scripts for Toy Fair.
Now, you recently visited, in addition to the fact that Jason, we know that Jason visits the San Diego Comic-Con every year, right?
I used to do it every year, and I'm starting to do it every year again.
Okay,
yeah,
so you saw some toys at San Diego, but you also attended the very recent...
New York
International Toy Fair.
No, he didn't.
I didn't actually attend.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
Okay.
But
I was like, why is producer Mike looking at me and shaking his head no?
You know what?
We're going to talk about what we saw on the internet.
Yeah,
I want you to know that I was very tempted to lie about it and pretend
that
I
just blow our
went.
Cover?
Okay.
He attended a Toy Fair website, right? That's good enough.
You know what? I attended the Toy Fair website.
Awesome.
Anybody hear that?
Let's get right into it.
Okay.
Yeah, we've talked about too much.
So Jason's prepared a number of highlights from the Toy Fair.
Yes, and these are very colored by what I think is important. So
that's why we bring you in, for your perspective.
Why did you stop collecting toys?
Yeah. What's up? Why did I start collecting toys?
No, but why did you stop?
Oh, why did I stop? You know, it was really twofold. It was. It's a good question. It has to do with, I think, what a lot of contemporary collectors run into, and certainly with the amazing wealth of toys that are out there. You run out of room.
Oh,
and it's as simple as that.
Places to store them.
Yeah, and, you know, living in a New York City apartment, I ran out of room pretty rapidly. So it really became a question of,
the girlfriend or toys?
Yeah. Well, you know, and it's also a question of just, you know, the priorities of my money. But,
right.
Because they do get expensive. The better the toys get now, the prices go up considerably because they're so much better made.
Yeah.
So is that grammatically correct? Better made?
I'm fortunate to have a little storage space back in my mother's home in Nebraska.
That's a good thing.
And I probably have about 1,000 action figures back there.
Wow.
And that is
so cool.
In addition to what you have in your apartment.
That is an embarrassment of geekdom.
Jason is noted for his, mostly for your food and cereal box collection, but you are one of the most noted collectors of a lot of these things in the country, I would point out.
And certainly these days in cereal and
they probably have a lot of money in there.
I don't know. It's not, you know.
It's a question
just
of who would pay for these things.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm
people.
Sure
there are things I collect, and I happily do so, that probably only about 5 or 6 other people in the country even care about.
All right, well, let's
we're
going
to get back to the Toy Fair. I was going to bring us back.
Let's just kind of go through them pretty
quickly.
The highlights. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Can I just start?
Go ahead.
Okay, first of all, I grew up in the 70s. I was a Star Wars kid. I bought and had Kenner action figures.
Definitely.
They changed the world of action figures. They changed the world of toy licensing. So, There was a thing called the rocket-firing Boba Fett. It was a mail-away in 1979, and by the time I mailed away for it, they removed the rocket that fired out of his back, and they glued it in. Since then, you have a question?
Yeah, well, did they? So they actually made some of these?
They never produced them for sending out.
Oh, wow.
But they made like 30 prototypes or whatever that they showed at Toy Fair and whatnot.
Okay.
Now, I have a vivid memory. Yes. I was a big Star Wars kid as well, and I was a big action figure collector as well for a while. I have a vivid memory of buying this Boba Fett, maybe from the mail order.
Yes.
I think I did the mail order. Mm-hmm. And it was supposed to shoot the little red sort of missile on his back, on his backpack.
On his backpack.
And on the back, there was a red... a little square rectangle on the back that explained about something. And my little 9-year-old self was like, wait, this is a decal.
Yeah.
This is a decal that didn't... It's like someone tacked this on into the production line. And I started to peel it off, my little inquisitive mind. And I saw a picture of the missile shooting out. And I was like, oh... I realized, like, this was supposed to shoot out, and for whatever reason, some fucking asshole in the factory put this decal over it, and I see that the thing is stuck. I can't shoot it out. Why can't I shoot it out?
Tony, that is an absolutely universal story. I was actually about to tell you that when I bought my mail-away Boba Fett, I peeled the decal off the back, and I said, oh my God. I didn't say OMG. I said, oh my God. '79, and I said, oh my God, look at this. You know, and I...
What has happened?
This was the scenario for me. I was not mad. I was like, Mom, we have to get back out to Kmart and buy 4 more figures. I'm mailing this in before they stop sending out the rocket-firing Boba Fett.
Wow.
And we got out there, and I was like, we are getting this thing in the mail. I cut out these proof-of-purchase seals. It was 5, I think. Maybe 4. I don't remember.
Right.
Mailed them off, and I was like, and I was just crossing my fingers. Is the mailman here? Is the mailman here? My rocket-firing... I'm going to get that rocket-firing Boba Fett because I mailed it off right away. I didn't get the rocket-firing Boba Fett.
So it just never came?
No, I got the Boba Fett.
Oh, okay.
No rocket-firing Boba Fett. It turns out they didn't.
I'm a little later than you guys, so I don't remember that. By the time I was getting the Boba Fett, I was just satisfied with the fact that it didn't shoot. I didn't expect it.
A few years later, they had some great mail-aways. They had an Admiral Akbar and an Emperor.
Emperor, I remember.
Glow. Now,
did you ever mail away for anything, Jennifer?
Definitely not for the Boba Fett. No, I was a lot later than you. Yeah.
But I mean, anything, any sort of mail order offer.
Oh, I definitely did. Do I remember any of
that? Yeah.
No, I really don't.
Okay.
My memory is...
Did they used to do that more? Like, maybe they don't do that anymore.
I believe they did a lot. I believe like toys or stickers or little booklets in cereal boxes, they hardly do it anymore.
Yeah, they don't. Mm-hmm.
Now what they do with a lot of action figures is they sell a series of 6, like with the DC.
Yes.
And in each pack is one piece of another toy that you could make a composite of. It's like Darkseid's right arm is with Hawkman, and Darkseid's left arm is with Green Lantern.
Oh,
you build it, you know.
It's an absolutely cool thing. A lot of companies have
that
done
it, cool.
And it's brilliant because it allows them to give you... Well, you give added value. It gives you a reason to buy them all. Good marketing. Also, the figures that you build are typically bigger than anything you could buy in the pack. So it's really cool, yeah.
Wow, that's
really
pretty awesome. Well, so now this one is coming out, and has the rocket.
So with the celebration of the 30th anniversary of The Empire Strikes Back, can you believe it? It's 2010.
Wow.
And they are doing, because Boba Fett was the first new character we saw from Empire Strikes Back, they're doing the rocket-firing Boba Fett. Boba's here. It's profoundly exciting, and they're not just doing a new figure that fires the rocket. They're making the figure that looks exactly like the one from the 70s that shoots a rocket out of his back.
Awesome.
I couldn't be more excited.
Aww.
And hats off to Hasbro. I have not bought a Star Wars action figure in a number of years. I'm going to have to go out and buy at least 5 to get one. And I'm worried. If they only have a limited amount, I'd better get to the store right away.
Wow.
Mom, let's go to Kmart. What
seriously.
Now, what was the deal with Kenner? And does Kenner not exist anymore?
Yeah, I had that question, too. Like, Kenner was such a part of our childhoods, and now what happened?
I believe it was around 2000, 2002, somewhere around there. I feel like Kenner almost bought Hasbro, but it may be that Hasbro bought Kenner.
Huh.
The name they decided to stick with was Hasbro.
Hasbro, okay.
So, yeah.
All right, let's go to the biggest things beyond that that you thought, like maybe 2 things that you thought were the best parts of the Toy Fair, what they're releasing.
Okay, cool. Let's see. What do I think?
Because I know Jennifer wants to chime in with some stuff she saw that's more representative of what the girls would have wanted to see.
Okay, one of the wildest things I saw, and I saw it and I was like, wow, that is so strange and bizarre and yet wonderful at the same time. Mattel... There's just a lot of great stuff. They do a Masters of the Universe Classics line, and this is for collectors. I think it's only sold through their Matty Collector website, which is really cool. They do a lot of neat stuff for collectors. They do these figures, and they'll do He-Man or Skeletor, you know, and with new sculpts and everything. Mm-hmm. And they'll do also characters that are maybe a little less known, characters that maybe never got an original figure back in the 80s. And I saw one on there. Now, I'm not a big He-Man guy, so at first I was like, oh, what is this? And I saw it was Molar, the Eternian dentist. And I was like, wow, this is the most insane thing I've ever seen. I mentioned it to producer Michael.
And I looked
Tony,
it up,
and
the fact-finding group of people
a deep
we have.
Amount of research.
We did a lot of internet research.
And we found out that it was a character from a Robot Chicken spoof of He-Man that they did. Molar, you can explain the skit itself.
Well,
we watched
the
it.
The skit is a great skit that the amazing genius guys of Robot Chicken did with Molar the Eternian Dentist tracking down Skeletor to pull out I believe an impact.
Let's play.
Molar.
He has an appointment. The Skeletor has reneged on his dentist appointment.
let's play a clip.
Skeletor!
Oh no, it's Molar, Eternian Dentist.
You missed your 10:15 appointment.
I'm busy, Molar.
You have an impacted wisdom tooth, Skeletor. It has to come out.
I'm a talking skull. What do I care if... you know what? The hell with this.
The boss man says his appointment is canceled. Hey!
I'm all out of meat flavor.
How come Beastman got the dental floss and I got the drill in my eye?
Success!
Oh, you... son of a bitch!
Molar, Eternian Dentist, comes with everything you see here.
And what I love is that
so
his
funny.
Name is
it's amazing.
M-O-L-A-R-R, Molar.
In the He-Man syntax.
Yes.
So while I thought the Robot Chicken thing was amazing, I was a little less delighted when I didn't find out it was just some absurdity from some obscure corner.
Yeah. You wanted it to be a real He-Man character.
I wanted it to be something from like an old PSA that they actually did one. This is Molar, you know. He'd tell your kids to brush, you know.
Sounds like a toy I should have had.
Right? Molar the Eternian. He gets
did you not brush, Jennifer?
No, I did, but, you know, I always renege on my appointments.
Yeah?
Yeah. I hate the census.
Okay.
The word of the day is renege.
my other favorite things, they're doing a mega AT-AT for Star Wars.
Yeah, now I saw this. Yes. I remember the one playing with it all the time as a kid. This new one looks amazing.
You guys, you listeners, you need to look this up. It's a new AT-AT to scale, right?
From Hasbro. Well, it's about as to scale as you can imagine. Yeah, to the 3 3/4 inch figures. Yeah, yeah.
And it's the 30th anniversary. Would you even date someone who's 30 at this point, Jennifer?
Thanks a lot. I might.
Anyone
I might.
Who's alive when Empire Strikes Back.
Anybody who's in this room.
Well, yes.
Other highlights I loved that aren't Star Wars related, because I didn't want to just focus on that. A company called Triad Toys is actually doing this really beautiful Dexter figure, which I think is actually really cool. They're also doing, I think, and you know, I have no problem. I don't know anybody at Triad Toys. I think they're probably doing some of the most absurd, yet again, wonderful toys I've ever seen for House MD.
House, a big
Roadhouse.
The one starring Hugh Laurie.
Yeah,
that's a great series. My mom is a big fan. I'll probably get her one. Just to assume, like, how much would something like this cost if it's a collector's?
You know, based on what I saw, it certainly had quality, anywhere from $50 to $80.
Okay,
you know?
I won't be getting it then. I just have one final question for Jason. I don't know if you know the answer to this, but when did Toy Fair first start? What was the first year?
For those who don't know, really quick, Toy Fair has been held in New York for many, many years. I can't tell you exactly when, but...
It's a good question.
Yeah, but it's... I
would guess
it's been going since at least like the 50s, 60s.
Really?
And I think it's been in New York since at least then.
Is there any talk that it's going to move or it's going to stay in the city?
Interesting you ask that. You know, back in the day, Toy Fair was a week-long event. Toy buyers from all over the country, all the different retail chains would come. They would look at toys. A lot of people thought that back in the late 90s, early 2000s, Toy Fair was going to end with 95% or even more of the toys being purchased by like Target, Walmart, Toys R Us.
And for a while, toy sales went down.
Yeah.
And so Toy Fair started scaling back a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. I know Kenner, or Hasbro now, they closed their big showroom here in the city.
Right.
But the toy, here we are 10 years later when they really thought they were going to stop doing it, and they're still doing Toy Fair, so that's good.
Yeah.
Do you have another final question. Do you see any trends for toys in the next few years? More retro stuff, more obscure toys?
Well,
or?
I don't think I think if you look around, I mean, there's
more of a Japanese influence.
You go to Target, you know, and you see one thing. The thing that amazes me about toys now is what used to be people used to collect what you could buy in the stores, and because of the collector movement, there's a great deal of toys that never hit a place like Toys R Us or Target or Walmart. So
they're just made for these people.
They're just made for collectors.
Specialty shops.
So it's a huge, huge market. There's probably more variety, maybe not more volume, but there's more variety of toys being sold outside of mass market retail than are within it. Trends. I think there's going to be a lot more Japanese. Certainly, you can see that already. It's already there, though. And also, I think to say that things are going to be more heavily influenced by comics, who knows? I mean, I think a lot more. They're heavily more influenced by the comic book style and thinking.
Right.
And
but as Hollywood and comic books get in bed together more and more, Toy Fair is filled with so much more Marvel and DC superhero
yes.
product.
Mm-hmm. And we also talked about, I think you told me about the Weebles, Marvel.
Or
song.
Oh, maybe
shit.
I got it from
Weebles.
Him.
Yeah, Weebles, Weebles came back and they yes. made either Marvel or DC Weebles?
Yeah, I think they were Marvel Weebles, yes.
Good
Weebles
Lord.
Marvel,
okay, before Jennifer throws up from all our retro talk,
these are brand new.
Let's end our segment here.
Yes.
All right. Well,
Jason, thanks so much again for coming by. We really appreciate
it. And your new title is definitely the Collector-in-Chief. Can we play Hail to the Chief as Jason leaves our studio?
I think that'd be appropriate.
Hail to the Chief. Thank you, Collector-in-Chief Jason Liebig. Jason Liebig, terrific guy, very wonderful, intelligent guy, always a real pleasure to have him on the show. And he is, of course, the Collector-in-Chief.
Yep.
The newly christened Collector-in-Chief.
And Candyman.
And Candyman. Tony Todd, Candyman.
Did you ever see those movies?
I saw the first one, yeah,
Candyman.
With Virginia Madsen.
And Candyland, great game.
Candyman.
That is a great game. That was like my
All
favorite.
Right. So we're going to go.
Shoots and Ladders was good.
Let's start off the Nerd News.
Nerd News.
All right, first in the Nerd News for this week of 2010, we have the Scott Pilgrim movie. Is coming in August. I believe it debuts August 18th of this year. And this is a comic series and a movie that I, Tony Wolf, go absolutely gaga over. I go Lady Gaga over this shit. I got into Scott Pilgrim. It was actually recommended to me by a guy at Midtown Comics. I'll give a shout out to him. His name is Hal Johnson, I believe. Hal, I hope I'm getting your last name correct. We are Facebook friends, so I should know this. But Hal is a great guy. He works at Midtown Comics. And I'd seen ads for Scott Pilgrim in the pages of, you know, indie comics, Oni Comics. And at first, all I knew was that it was about, like, cool hipster guys that were in a rock band and their romance problems. And I was like, that was what the ads communicated to me. And at the time, I was like, another hipster comic about romance problems and some fucking rock band dude. Whatever, I've seen this before. And people were like, no, Tony, no. This is something else. Like, you really need to give this a chance. Hal Johnson was the straw that broke the camel's back. He recommended it to me. I bought the first volume. They're like a little American manga type books by Brian Lee O'Malley, who's a wonderful Canadian artist writer. All the good people have come from Canada. Producer Mike and I have already established this. Anyway, it's amazing. It is brilliant. It is, and this is the Tony Wolf quote, should I ever become important enough to be on the back of a book quote, it is pure distilled joy in comic book form.
Wow.
It is hilariously brilliant. It's also sort of like a tribute to the old Nintendo games.
Mm.
It's part slacker hipster romantic comedy about everyone's lives and their struggle with the band. But it's also like video games. Like, he has battles, like Nintendo battles.
With the band, right?
The girl he's in love with, he has to date her seven evil ex-boyfriends. And it's like the final one is the big boss.
Now, the question is, how are they going to...
It's amazing.
How is this going to translate into a movie? How do you think they're going to do this?
It's going to translate into a movie amazing because the man directing it is Edgar Wright,
who
directed Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz.
In fact, I just watched the other day, I watched some of Spaced.
Yes.
That's a great show, too. Yeah.
He's the guy who always directs Simon Pegg and Nick Frost. It's amazing. Edgar Wright gets this. Brian Lee O'Malley was a consultant on the film. Apparently, it's going to be what Speed Racer should have been, namely this gorgeous primary color, totally insane neon. I didn't see Speed Racer.
Oh, you didn't see it all.
But I just mean it didn't do well.
Right,
but I did hear it was
fine.
Cool. But they touted Speed Racer by the Wachowski brothers as like a game changer for all of Hollywood. Like they wanted it to be like a lesser Avatar. Like the effects in it were just going to blow everyone's
mind.
It's
funny too how fast things changed, because if that had come out now, it would have totally been in 3D. Speed
That's
Racer.
True. Yeah, that's true.
Like, you're right.
But you saw Speed Racer and you liked it. I haven't seen it yet.
I didn't see Speed Racer, actually, but I did read a lot of reviews and people didn't like them.
Right.
They had a lot of harsh...
But with Speed Racer, they were trying to do something very different visually.
Right.
They were trying to do lots of different, not just special effects like Avatar, but like colors.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the cast.
They wanted it to look like a video game.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean,
so anyway.
So who's in the cast? Who's the director?
Okay. Michael Cera plays the titular hero.
I think he's great. Funny. Yep.
He's great. Now, Michael Cera, Scott Pilgrim is like the guy who's kind of handsome but is not a hipster, but he is sort of like a hipster without being pretentious, and he's kind of clueless,
mm-hmm.
and he's really headstrong and thinks he's awesome, but he's really naive and immature, but he's endearing, like he's not cocky in a bad way, and he's the best fighter in the county, of course, like a Nintendo kind of fighter.
Oh no.
He plays bass guitar shitty. You know, he's not a great musician. And he's just one of those endearing, clueless, you know, like...
So you feel it'll have the essence of the comic book.
Yes, and Michael Cera, I think, is going to be stretching his acting abilities. Michael Cera can definitely nail the, what? Huh?
Right.
Sort of nerdy cluelessness. But Scott Pilgrim is a little cooler than Michael Cera. He's a little more handsome. He's a little just more cool.
Well, did you see that other movie he did where he kind of plays a cooler guy?
Like, no, but a friend of mine saw that, and she said it was excellent. So I want that to be channeled. I think that was a good prep movie for this. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so the seven evil ex-boyfriends are comprised of a lot of what we're going to call genre actors, people that have been in comic book or sci-fi movies or other things. One of them is being played by Chris Evans, who is the Human Torch in the Fantastic Four movies.
He's great.
He's awesome.
He was good.
Jason Schwartzman is playing
the final
boss. What,
no, are
you
really
being sarcastic?
No, I'm serious. Jason's awesome.
Okay.
He's really great.
No, something about producer, like the look in his eyes, was like a crazed look that I've not seen before. Anyway, some of the other evil ex-boyfriends, you know, I don't even remember who the other ones are, but there's...
Well, look.
Michael Cera is the biggest name, but the aesthetic of the movie is going to be... Mary Elizabeth Winstead is playing the lead girl who he's love he has to win by defeating all these boyfriends. Her hair color changes every volume, so in the movie, they're going to probably have her hair color change like every three scenes or something.
Ooh,
wow.
She's one of those girls that
like
every
that.
Week is like, so you like my new hair color?
Yeah.
You know. And even if the boys don't like it, they're kind of like, they don't know what to say.
Sure.
You know.
All right, speaking of comic books, an appearance on a great show happened this week.
We're segueing out of Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah, well, just because we can't go too long with
exactly.
everything. And it was exciting. I think Stan Lee is... I'll see any cameo he's in.
Stan Lee was on Big Bang Theory.
That's a great show.
That is a great
show. I'm a big
show.
Fan of all the sitcoms from Monday night, and Big Bang
on
is
CBS.
One of them. Yep. Oh, yeah, right.
It seems like CBS is really the only one with, like, sitcoms with some staying power.
They're well-written. They're well-written.
Right.
They have good premises, for the most part. And
Two
great.
And a Half Men on that?
Two and a Half Men is also in that book.
Great acting.
I don't like Two and a Half Men, though.
I think that's a manly thing, maybe. A little bit?
I'm not crazy
what
about
don't
that
you like
show.
About
I watch it constantly, and I'm like, what is the big deal? And why are people saying this show and not 30 Rock, you know?
Well, 30
Rock
too.
Is amazing.
That's a great show.
No, it's true.
The same thing with, Better Off Ted. That's another great show. Nobody's watching. It'll be canceled any day.
I haven't watched
that.
Yeah, I don't know.
I've only barely even heard of it, which is emblematic of the
Such
problem.
But the other one is it's the one with Jenna Elfman I like a lot,
Cougar
too.
Cougartown.
Well, that's...
Oh,
that's
absolutely not something... It's, I forget.
Yeah.
Absolutely Uncertain
something.
Or something. The title means that.
Yeah, right.
Anyway, Stan Lee was on Big Bang Theory. I don't watch the show very often, but it is a fun, well-written sitcom. The characters are great. It is fun, and they're very accurate with all their comic book trivia and minutia.
Yeah, I mean, as much as Tony thought all the characters were gay, you could do a dead-on impersonation of the main skinny guy.
Yeah, the tall, skinny guy who's really obsessed. And anyway, so Stan Lee was on. I was just a little disappointed because Stan Lee's appearance was so brief. It was more like
a
cameo.
Yeah.
You watched it, too?
Mm-hmm.
We were all watching it together.
Yeah. Well, he's 88. I mean, what do you expect?
He could have handled seven lines instead of three.
Speaking of
know.
IDs, let's play his ID. This was another one that was really hard to get.
Yes.
And
the fact that Stan Lee said the words, "I'm Stan Lee and you're watching the Action Room," literally makes me happy to be alive. He endorsed our show. Here it is.
Hi, I'm Stan Lee, and you know what you're watching? You're watching the Action Room. Excelsior!
Now, the other thing I want to talk about...
That's Stan Lee, folks.
Wow.
I'm sorry.
The other thing I want to talk about...
sexy voice.
is Rob Zombie's directorial debut on TV, I don't know, for right. doing... He did an episode of CSI Miami, which came right after The Big Bang.
Right. Now, Mike, producer Mike is a big horror fan, so he knows a lot about Rob Zombie. I don't know that much. I know
There's
Rob
nothing
Zombie
to know.
Cool.
He started as a musician. White Zombie right. was his band. Then he did his own stuff. Then he started directing. And he did the Halloween movies, but before that he did... You know, the, what were they called? They were all the serial killer type movies. I forget what they were called.
Did he do one of the Dawn of the Deads or not?
No. I'm blanking on his other movies that were actually pretty good, but it was House of a Thousand Corpses, and
okay.
then, I forget the next one, which was really good. But anyway, did the Halloween movies. I didn't care for them at all. So he did the CSI Miami. Now, have you ever seen this show?
Almost never.
CSI Miami?
No.
It is so... I've never seen the show. It is the worst show I've ever seen in my life.
This is David Caruso, the redheaded dude, right?
He is so... I mean, they're all such over actors, and the thing looks like... It's like watching a cop show through a prism. Like, it's like...
The way it's shot.
The lighting
well,
is like
a copy
so...
of Law & Order, and Law & Order...
No, but
Law
&
Order...
With the CSI shows, they try to do something different with the way it's shot.
Oh, yeah, it's all like glistening yellows and greens, and it's just like there must be...
There's a lot of filter effects.
It's ridiculous. So it's so stylized, there wasn't really much for Rob Zombie to do, as far as I'm concerned. So if you hadn't told me Rob Zombie or anybody else directed this, I wouldn't have known.
But the subject
like
matter was
else.
A lot of like goth, crazy goth things that seem like Rob Zombie things. Is that fair to say?
Kind
or?
Of. I mean, he had a little bit like he used the actors he liked, like the guy from Clockwork Orange, Malcolm McDowell.
Malcolm McDowell was awesome.
You know, he used all these people he uses in his movies, but for the most part, it was no different from any other CSI Miami episode. And you know, he had his. Anytime he uses his... He has to stop using his wife in movies.
Who is his wife?
I don't know. But she is the worst actress. As bad as these people were on the show, she is the worst actress ever.
Wow.
She just brings everything...
How is David Caruso?
He's horrible. Yeah. I mean, I don't understand why that guy is big. Everything is like this. And, and like, everybody's too cool for school. And nobody's, like, affected by anybody else. It's just... It's the worst show. I don't know why Rob Zombie did it.
That'll be like...
He must know that she's a horrible
actor. Rob Zombie's going to do an ID for us right after that.
Yeah, right.
No, so anyway, that's Producer Mike's review
it was
of
horrible.
CSI Miami. I did not watch it. After Stan Lee left, I was like, bye, CBS.
I will not be watching it either.
Yeah, no, don't
all right. Anyway, so thank you very much for joining us, everyone. As always, we are The Action Room, your one-stop source for geek culture and pop culture. We've got new shows every Friday. Follow us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter.
Every Monday and Friday.
What did I say?
Every Friday.
I said Friday and Friday. We've got new shows every Monday and Friday. I'm trying to wrap this up fast. Thank you so much. For our next episode, we're going to have a very special Oscars episode where we'll talk about the biggest event of the year in Hollywood. Everyone go to your Oscar parties. And we'll also have a very special guest, another longtime friend of the show and prior guest, Mr. Kevin Costigan, will speak on his knowledge of movie scores, orchestral scores, movie music,
and the scores,
and Oscar
the,
music.
The ones that are nominated.
Right, for best score. So thanks again for joining us. I'm Tony Wolf.
Geek Goddess.
And Mike, producer Mike. General Mike.
General Mike. We have the collector in chief. And the general.
Oh.
So on that note...
We're nearing like a moniker limit, I think.
Yeah.
We can't have that many. Tony, we never gave you one. Like,
I'm Tony Wolf.
I know.
There is no other moniker when your name is...
when your name is Wolf.
Tony
right?
Wolf. So thanks very much. We'll see you next episode.